Welcome to Talk Nation Radio, a half-hour discussion on politics, human rights, and the environment. I'm Dori Smith.
His mind was always working on connecting the dots.
He was always there, 7 days a week, 365 days a year.
We spend the half hour with Ellen Tyson of Voters Unite and Brad Friedman of Brad Blog, honoring John Gideon, who died very suddenly in April of meningitis at the age of 62. We'll be talking about John Gideon's work, the ongoing efforts at Voters Unite, and some of the core issues that John Gideon and others at Voters Unite and Brad Blog have cared most deeply about.
In Missoula County, Montana,
John Gideon in 2008 on the Mike Malloy Show with Brad Friedman as host.
The head of the state Republican Party is challenging the registration of more than 3,400 county voters on the grounds that they don't live where they say they do. This is happening to the county at the same time that they're trying to process over 12,000 absentee ballots, get them out. And in Illinois today, a judge ordered the state to scrap all of their ballots and start all over again. This is just, what, less than five weeks from the
election. What's wrong with the ballots?
Somebody was not happy with the wording of one of the initiatives that was on the statewide initiative on the ballot and took it to court. The judge agreed that it wasn't honest and the wording needed to be
changed. How are they
going to
be able to reprint those and send them out absentee in time?
That's the question I've got, too. This is going to be a huge problem in Illinois. Statewide, they've got to do something. I don't know that the printers are going to be able to handle it. And, of course, many of those printers are have contracts with the main vendors, ES&S, Sequoia, and so forth.
Ellen Tyson is actually the founder of Voters Unite. She is now working on plans to continue John Gideon's Daily Voting News newsletter.
He initially started sending Daily Voting News out to the small informal group of volunteers at Verified Voting when we were all working there. It was just a convenience for those of us who were trying to keep on top of things. And then I left Verified Voting and founded Voters Unite. And then a couple of months later, he came over and started working with me at Voters Unite. And it has just grown from there because he scoured the news every day and he was willing to put links into an email. And as people found out, they wanted to subscribe. And so it just became a huge service that he provided to an enormous number of people.
And of course, those of us who were trying to compensate for a lack of reporting in the mainstream about these voting machine questions and failures all over the nation could always count on John Gideon. If we happened to pick up the phone and call him at any time, he would have answers to, you know, questions about a specific machine or a development or a program, you know, a bill, on and on. It was just amazing. He was a wealth of information.
I think it was the way his mind worked. He remembered these things. It was important to him. And, of course, being familiar with what was going on every day from looking at the news articles, he remembered and he put information together quite well. If you go to the VotersUnite.org homepage, I have pointed out some of the accomplishments that he has made, the contributions he made that grew out of his work with the Daily Voting News. Because he became so informed, he became extremely helpful to an enormous number of people. And he began correcting reporters, and then became a trusted resource for them. And he contacted reporters and election officials when he wanted more information about a story. And so he acquired additional information that way. All of the wonderful work that he did came out of him scouring the news and being familiar with what was going on and remembering, like you said, he did have an amazing memory for what had happened.
Family members of John Gideon were shocked, according to Ellen Tyson, when they learned just how many people from different walks of life were offering moving tributes to this humble man they knew.
John was so unassuming and so down to earth that I am realizing that his family, whom he lived with, they are shocked by the tribute. They had no idea that he was so extremely important and loved. You know, I think he would be shocked, which is really, really sad. He knew that what he was doing was important. He mostly paid attention to doing the important work.
John Gideon's recent work at Voters Unite was all about helping voting rights groups unite to take on statewide or national challenges. Voters Unite describes itself as a national, nonpartisan organization dedicated to fair and accurate elections. According to Director Ellen Tyson, they were in agreement that it was the voters themselves who should be able to run elections and know all about every phase of them throughout the process. And while some have suggested that a bill be written in honor of John Gideon, Ellen Tyson is unsure at this point just what it might say. I asked her if that is possibly because the focus has been more on helping the people voting control the ballot box themselves.
That is absolutely true, yes. That people need to be in charge of elections, not the federal government, not even the state government. I mean, he saw the Creekside Declaration and picked that up immediately and loved it to encourage citizen ownership of transparent participatory democracy. Right. And what we need is for more citizens to realize that their democracy, their elections are at stake here, and begin to call for and demand transparency.
Now, there have been successes, though, right? I mean, just in terms of what people are coming to understand about elections.
There are a lot of people who are realizing that we need to make some dramatic changes, some radical changes in our election structure. I think that's good. And I think information is the way that that will happen. I am just a believer in information, as John was. And that's what gave us so much synergy, was that we both felt that if people have the accurate information they need, they will rise to it. That's what we need to have happen.
Ellen Tyson, just explain how the work began for you at Voters Unite and in general with John Gideon.
Well, the original project that Voters Unite did was the Mythbreakers Project, and that was a document that I wrote because I realized that there was a lot of information just out there all over the place, and it seemed very important to compile it in one place and dispel some of the myths that were also in the news and in people's minds. And that was a really exciting project because there were a lot of people around the United States who printed out Mythbreakers and took it to their local election officials all on the same day. And we were hoping to get a lot of media coverage by that event, and we did get some, but that was kind of the kickoff for Voters Unite. And then a couple of months later, when John joined me, he contributed enormously, well, even before then, because I got his daily voting news and was able to keep up on current events. And we worked together really well because we had the same vision. We felt that information that we gathered, and I wrote a lot of reports that are up on votersunite.org. We both felt that that information should just be freely available. One of the things that I started doing at Verified Voting was tracking equipment problems, and that then grew also on Voters Unite into what is the election problem log now. Then, of course, John and I worked together, talked two or three times a day about what was going on and what information needed to go out. It was a very exciting collaboration. I don't know that I've worked with anyone else that had so much the same vision as I had.
In December of 2008, you wrote to the U.S. Election Assistance Commission, the EAC, and testified to them about failures, really, on their part, where you explain that, you know, for the past 4 years, voting system performance has been abysmal and local election officials have struggled to administer elections. And really the content of this letter, where you talk about the enormous changes in election administration initiated by HAVA, the Help America Vote Act, that have left election administrators with new and unfamiliar challenges, I'm quoting from your letter, with which they need help. Information sharing is essential, and we believe, as does the GAO, the Government Accounting Office, that the Election Assistance Commission was tasked with facilitating that information sharing. And currently, only Voters Unite and other citizens groups track and disseminate vital information about equipment problems. I mean, it's central to what you do. That's why I chose that one.
Right. In fact, that was a pet project of ours. As far back as October of 2004, we wrote a letter to the commission and said, basically, you're supposed to be a clearinghouse of information about election administration issues, and we're doing it. And we'd like for you to take that up. And we offered to assist and were ignored. And several times after that, we had contacted them and highly recommended that they take on this job, because even though Voters Unite had become a credible source, it wasn't an official source of information. And we felt that if the Election Assistance Commission took this on, they might be able to get more information from election officials about exactly what had happened. Because if some problem occurs in one jurisdiction, then it's important for other jurisdictions using that same equipment to know about those problems and understand that it might occur and what workarounds they might be able to use, and then potentially have the equipment decertified if the EAC would be willing to do such a thing. But they insisted that their information clearinghouse responsibilities had to do with providing best practices and then would potentially extend to equipment problems when they had certified equipment. They didn't consider the voting systems that were out there that had been certified by the National Association of State Election Directors to be their responsibility, so they did not feel it was necessary to have an information clearinghouse about that equipment.
You say, for example, when the New Mexico clerks communicated with each other and realized that a high percentage of memory cards were failing in all their counties, they were able to then purchase additional cards to manage the problem, but jurisdictions in other states were unprepared because they were not aware of the severity of the failures until their own cards failed. This was really central, this memory card crisis. And you're saying here, it seems, that the election enforcement watchdog group that was supposed to do that tracking didn't do it and didn't know. But you're pointing that out to them in a way that I think is very interesting. Is that how you worked in general? I mean, you were able to provide, obviously, so many examples.
Yes, everything that we did came out of noticing what was going on and hopefully trying to come up with some kind of a solution that would mitigate the problem. I mean, this recent Humboldt County Election Transparency Project revelation is huge, and we tried to get the Election Assistance Commission to take on the task of distributing that information so that other places using the Diebold election management system would know and be very careful not to do something that would inadvertently delete ballots. Fortunately, the subject got enough press that the EAC's reluctance, refusal to do anything about it may have not been as much of a problem in this case as it is in many, many others.
And in the Humboldt County story, it appears that Diebold, or Premier Election Solutions, as they're now called, have canceled the contract for that county. It's fascinating how these companies work, isn't it?
Yes, it really is. The county registrar of voters, Carolyn Cernich, was moving to a different equipment, but they canceled the contract also for the voter registration database system, and that was uncalled for. It's difficult to see that as being anything other than vengeance.
The software that was used to create that database is now unavailable?
Well, they gave them 90 days notice, but I believe that they sent the letter back in March. That leaves the county scrambling to get some other voter registration database in process. And I believe they have an election that's going on in May, so it's really uncalled for. And yes, it is indicative of the way that some of these vendors operate.
It's almost as if they're saying, look, all you other states using this technology, this is what can happen, and you will find yourselves approaching election deadlines without software to use if you do take note of our failures. It reads like a threat, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. And I have talked to election officials who were willing to give me information but were not willing to go on record as having it associated with their name because they say, you know, we are still dependent on our vendor to get our ballots printed and our ballot programming, so I don't want you to associate my name with this information. I can't tell you who told me that, but there have been several. We're dependent on the decisions made by corporations with a profit motive in order to have our elections run smoothly, and that is very, very precarious. John took up that cause as well and has been talking to people about it, and it's something we need to do something about, and I think what Diebold's premier did to Humboldt County is a perfect example.
A lot has been written and said about John Gideon, and much of it is now on Brad's blog. We'll be speaking with Brad Friedman, but can you just describe who John Gideon was as a person?
Thank you for asking that question. On each of the pages on the Voters Unite site, I like to put a quote at the bottom. And the quote that I have on the page that is dedicated to John is, quote, by John, which is, I'm just a knuckle dragger. And he kind of liked to think of himself as the common person, the common man. He was not highly educated, though he was highly intelligent. We had some serious arguments about that when he would say, well, I'm so dumb. He also was very outspoken. He didn't mind calling a spade a spade. That was really important because it's easy for a ball to get rolling in a certain direction and everybody kind of says, oh, well, I see it's rolling in that direction. And John would be very comfortable saying, you know what, that's really not the direction that it should be rolling. And, you know, make people stop and think, oh, yeah, that's a good point. His being outspoken was also very, very important. And he pondered a lot of the information that he gathered a lot. I can remember a lot of times he would tell me, I woke up at 2 o'clock realizing this piece of information and this piece of information, the connection between them, and oh, my goodness. So just the fact that his mind was always working on connecting the dots really helped him see and then share important realizations.
And he was a Vietnam veteran. Did he ever talk about his time in the service or what the Vietnam War meant to him?
No, not with me. He did have a special place in his heart for veterans. And when we found out that the Veterans Administration was not allowing people on site to register veterans, he became infuriated by that and took some steps that made a difference in some places.
Ellen Tyson, thank you so much for joining us to talk about John Gideon and also about Voters Unite.
Thank you, Dory. I appreciate you giving me an opportunity and especially to mention something about who John was as a person.
I don't believe that every vote counts. It's a problem. Gotta do something about it. Gotta help the folks who are down but not out. Election reform, it sure ain't pretty. Election reform, every state, every city.
Election Shannon Williford with Election Reform. You're listening to Talk Nation Radio. We turn next to Brad Friedman. He's been posting tributes to John Gideon, who passed away in April, and they have poured in from various officials and the general public. Ohio Secretary of State Jennifer Bruner, California Secretary of State Deborah Bowen, and even Rosemary Rodriguez, the former chair of the EAC, U.S. Election Assistance Commission. Brad Friedman, welcome.
Thank you, Dory, and thanks for doing this show today. I suspect it would have meant the world to our friend John Gideon.
Brad, Secretary Bruner praised Gideon for his courage in asking tough questions. Rosemary Rodriguez said he will be missed, called him the voice of the voter, saying he, quote, succeeded in educating us about the need to keep integrity and transparency at the forefront of elections at both the policy and operational levels.
I think John would absolutely be stunned and amazed. I'd like to think he would be pleased. Rosemary Rodriguez is a former head of the U.S. Election Assistance Commission. That is rather extraordinary because, in truth, John was dogged in his criticism of the EAC. I was often CC'd and took part in discussions with various members of the EAC who he was always jumping on for not doing their job, not following the mandate that they were given in the Help America Vote Act to oversee our electoral system, to serve as the clearinghouse for voting machine problems and so forth. Frankly, he gave them hell. He did it in a polite way, but he gave them hell quite directly. And I think that it is in no small part due to his dogged persistence over so many years that the EAC slowly began to improve their processes. There are still, as you know, Dory, huge problems with what the EAC does, but they are a lot more transparent. Their testing of voting machines is a lot more thorough and transparent than it had been years ago. He did not let these guys get away with anything. So, you know, when folks like Rosemary Rodriguez step forward and give John accolades, I think it's rather extraordinary. And he also, by the way, gave similar hell to folks like Secretary of State Deborah Bowen, Secretary of State of Ohio Jennifer Brunner, who did a lot of good stuff, but when they didn't, he was more than happy to hold their feet to the fire as well. He was an equal opportunity troublemaker, if you will. Someone had said to me just after we lost John, in regard to these folks like the commissioners at the EAC and the Secretary of State around the country, John helped to make them better public officials. And I suspect even those officials who were on the tough side of John's emailed questions and everything else would probably agree that, yes, they were held to a higher standard because of what he did, and they thought twice about the way they operated because they knew they'd have to face his fire. So he did make them, I think, better public officials, and he was just one man, one private citizen. Imagine if we had tens, hundreds, thousands, even millions of folks doing exactly that. These public officials, I think, would be hard-pressed to get away with the crap that they have been able to get away with for so many years because no one holds their feet to the fire.
Well, is it the case that people in general see these corporations, even the ones that provide these voting machines we know there are problems with, we view them as unstoppable, not able to be challenged somehow in some profound way?
Well, I think certainly over the last 4 years, if not longer, public officials have been by and large in denial about all of the problems, you know, that I report at Brad Blog. And I should note, John Gideon was indispensable the work that I do at bradblog.com. He blogged a great deal over there. He and I did stories together, full reports, articles, exposés. But, you know, over these past 4 years, these public officials have thought, well, okay, if I fork over a few million dollars, I can have a company come in, a private company come in, run everything. I don't have to worry about anything. And they've really been in denial about how well these voting systems worked. Were they accurate? Were they secure? You know, public officials certainly represented them as being accurate and secure because, well, frankly, they were told by the companies who stood to profit that they were accurate and secure. And what we've learned through John's work over these past 4 years is that they are neither accurate nor secure. And a lot of it was getting that message across to officials who were in denial and to other folks who would regard this stuff as conspiracy theory. Well, it's not conspiracy theory. It's a fact. It's now been proven time and time again by scientific reports from one side of the nation to the other, and even in other parts of the globe, that these electronic voting systems are a problem. There's finally, I think, an awareness among the election officials now of what they're facing. A lot of them are still in denial. A lot of them still don't know where to go. But I think the school of thinking is not the outlier, the fringe conspiracy theorist that it used to be seen as. Now we know we have a problem, in no small part due to the work of folks like John. The question now is, what do we do about it? How do we close the deal? And how do we bring reform and get these corporations out of our public election system? I'm sorry that John won't be here to help us close that deal at this point, but I'll tell you, losing him, I think, has steeled the resolve of a lot of folks in the election integrity community to pick up that torch, to keep up that fight, to continue in the direction that John had been in no matter what, because it is that important. So as much as his loss has been a painful one to our community, I'd also like to think it has been an inspiration to help folks understand just the importance of what one person can do and how important it is to not wait for someone else to do it, but to jump in and do it yourself and to take action if you ever really want change in this country.
Brad Friedman, what about the possibility that the Obama administration could take some of that stimulus money and pour it now into retraining Americans on how to conduct elections and sort of give jobs to these devoted people that have been working as volunteers like John Gideon did?
You know, when it comes to running our elections, it is, once again, a national disgrace. We ask for folks to step up and to volunteer. We don't pay them properly. They have to, work insanely long days on election day. A lot of folks simply cannot afford to do that. The older retired folks tend to step forward to do it because they have the time. But in truth, as the days are getting longer and longer because the systems are getting more complicated, the fact that we don't, give them proper remuneration is, as I say, a national disgrace. And if we took some of the millions and, yes, billions that we were happy, seemingly, to put into voting machines and voting systems that simply don't work, and put that funding instead towards the people, so the people could show up at the end of the night, have a second shift to count those ballots publicly at the precinct in full view of any and all citizens who wanted to watch, I think we'd have a much more accurate, reliable, and transparent voting system that we could have some real faith and oversight in, and it would cost us a lot less than what we're getting now from the billions that we've spent on systems that frankly do not work.
What do you think you'll remember about John Gideon as a person?
He was always there, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. His consistency was one of his hallmarks. He almost never took a day off from putting the daily voting news out. But, I, on a personal level, spoke with him almost every day. And he would tip me off to stories that I needed to know about. He served as a sounding board for so many of the reports that I've done over the years at bradblog.com. He was a friend. He was a mentor. He was a colleague. And I can't overstate the importance of his loss to the work of folks like myself, of having someone there to turn to make sure, hey, am I getting this right? Is it just me, or does this seem insane? Yes, Brad, it is insane. You're right. So, sort of that encouragement will be just a tremendous loss to me. But as I say, I'm hoping that folks in the community, and they have already begun to, by the way, I was delighted to see the daily voting news return not even a week after we had lost John. We've had some folks, Dave Klein up in Minnesota, John Washburn up in Wisconsin, have jumped in to help Ellen to get this important newsletter out every day so that so many of us didn't feel blind. We knew that, okay, we can count on it. The daily voting news is back, and I hope that continues because it's really a central source for all of us. They intend to continue his work, so we can count on that. Even with him gone, his work will still live on, at the very least, through the indispensable daily voting news that he would put out every day.
Brad Friedman, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us about John Gideon.
Thank you, Dory. Greatly appreciate it.
Brad Friedman of bradblog.com. You can find Voters Unite online at votersunite.org. And we'll have more on this developing story of the voting rights movement next time. For Talk Nation Radio, I'm Dory Smith. This program produced at Talk Nation Radio Studios in Storrs, Connecticut, talknationradio.org.